Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to share your real ghost stories with us. And I hate this thing that's on my microphone.
What is it?
This thing on my microphone, it's essentially like a catcher for like pops, like harsh peas and things of that nature. That sounds horrible, but it is. It's a filter, and it's like what you'd see like on you know, a lot of singers use it. You know, and it, I thought I'd like it for some of the voiceover stuff I do, but I find I never really use it all that much, and it becomes something that falls down when I move my microphone and hits me in the head. So it's gonna store this right over here. And there we go. Problem solved. How are you all doing today? We're doing a radio show and I'm just kind of messing with things as we go along. Welcome to live podcasting.
Yeah.
There you go. I also figured out something else new about this mic stand because my mic kept like, every time I'd move it, it would slide down all the way away.
Did you figure out how to tighten it?
Like, oh my gosh, there's a knob there to tighten it.
Oh my gosh.
All these new innovations, these knobs and oh my goodness.
You just realized that because we have the same one and I've tightened mine before.
Yes, I just realized this. And I've been doing radio for 20 years. So,
but we know mechanics is not your strong suit.
Not exactly.
Sorry.
You just have to make it to the microphone. And it sometimes is a bit of a hassle to do that. So anyhow, lots of calls today. So I'm excited about that. You can also write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Excited about that. I'm just excited about everything.
Good.
That's all you got for today. So let's go to our first caller at 855-853-4802 and share a ghost story. Dylan is calling in. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, my name is Dylan Logan, and my story is about a house I stayed at in Michigan, summer of 2013. I'm from Bakersfield, California, and my aunt's family is from back east. They're from Michigan. And me and my uncle and my aunt and my two cousins went to go visit some family back there. And her mom has a house there. It's in the town of Allegan in southern Michigan. And that property had been her family for a very long time, about 100 years. And during the 80s, her parents needed to sell the property. And they sold it. Her father started a business. It became successful. They bought the property back about 10 years, 15 years later. And since the time that they had sold it, the people they sold it to built a large house on it, like a three-story house. It's beautiful. And so they bought the property back, and so now they have their property and this nice new house on it, and everything was great. And there's a vacation house. They go there during the summers, and they live in California, you know, full-time. And when they would go back there, they started noticing some weird things happening. and I'd always hear these stories growing up about they would be downstairs on the first floor, which was almost like a basement, and they would hear footsteps behind them. They would hear, you know, voices calling their name that they didn't recognize. And when they weren't at the house and visitors were there, visitors would hear people talking to them also. When, you know, other friends were staying at the house for vacation, they would hear voices and they'd hear footsteps behind them, all this weird stuff. Well, one day, my aunt, her aunt, who lived next door, came over to visit. And we were gone, we weren't home, but she thought we were, and she was calling our names and saying, you know, I'm here. And she heard a voice saying, okay, we'll be right up, coming from the basement. About 10, 15 minutes later, we show up to the house, and she was just absolutely frightened, because she said that she heard voices say, we'll be right up, and we obviously weren't home. And they ended up hearing some stories about someone being killed on the property later on, and actually buried on the property somewhere. The cold case files, an ongoing investigation, and in fact, the house was just on the news in Michigan about a month ago because there's an ongoing investigation of this body on the property. And that's another story I'll have to talk about, but fast forward, summer of 2013, I go to the house with them on vacation, and we stay there for 2 weeks. And I've always heard these stories growing up about, you know, weird things happening at this house, and there's supposed to be someone buried in the house, and I didn't think very much of it. I tried not to frighten myself. I didn't want to get myself freaked out, but the first day we get there, everything's fine. Second day we get there, weird stuff starts happening. We are all in the living room on the second floor, and I walk across the house over to go to the bathroom. I'm by myself. Everyone else is still in the living room. I go in the bathroom. As soon as I close the bathroom door, I hear a loud bang on the bathroom door, like someone was rushing the door. And I open it up immediately, and no one's there. And I was thinking maybe someone was playing a prank on me, but everyone is across the house, still sitting in the living room like nothing ever happened. And it freaked me out, just to say the least. Another thing that happened is the next day, me and my four-year-old cousin, we were sharing a room. We were sleeping in the bedroom together, taking a nap midday. My aunt and uncle in the room next door. Well, my cousin, who's 4 years old, he wakes me up saying he sees a man walking around our room. And that freaked me out a little bit, just to say the least. So that's the second weird thing that happened. The third weird thing that happened is my aunt's mom, who went with us, who actually owns the house, she was up on the third floor, which is just basically a master bedroom and a master bathroom and a balcony. It was evening. She went up there. She closed everything up, you know, turned off all the lights, came upstairs and watched the movie with us. Movie's over, we all go back to our beds. She goes upstairs, she comes back down terrified, saying that the balcony door was open and all the lights were on, when in fact they were all off and was closed before she came down. So that was the third frightening thing that happened. Also, my aunt's cousin, who was there visiting with us, she was downstairs in the basement, and the door, she closed the door, and there was someone jiggling the doorknob. And he opened it up, thought it was a kid playing a prank on him. Everyone's upstairs on the second floor. Kind of similar to my bathroom experience. So there's definitely something in that house. It's a beautiful house. It's peaceful. It doesn't feel terrifying, but there's definitely something strange going on in that house. And with the ongoing investigation about them looking for a missing person that went missing in 1990 and supposed to be buried on that property somewhere, I really do believe that around that house. Well, thank you guys very much. I have lots of other stories I'd love to call in and tell you guys about. So I love the show. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, can I talk?
There you can talk now. There you go.
I would be willing to bet that if they did find that body on the property and they were finally able to close that that the haunting would stop.
Would it be at peace?
I think it's maybe trying to get attention.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if maybe that's not the reason there's a lot of hauntings when there's, you know, claims of possibly somebody buried on a property that's not supposed to be there, or a missing person, and they're looking for them. I think they just want to be found.
You know, it's interesting because sometimes I think they almost want to stay if there's nothing going on. I think you could also invite a haunting to happen if the body is moved. But in this case, there's already the haunting going on. So
yeah, I would think it'd be like, okay, you found me. Now my family knows. Now I'm done.
You know, it reminds me of a case. It was around 1990 when I believe the inn closed. It was called the Stratford Inn. I believe a couple, Dick and Joanna Loden, London Loden owned
that,
it. And they had a body in their basement.
It was 1981. And
well, but the inn closed in 1990, I believe.
That's the Newhart show. God.
I love it. It's on Hulu, and we just watched that episode last night.
Yeah.
And that just immediately came to mind. I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a Newhart reference, because I don't think I've ever actually made a Newhart reference on the air. I was so excited to do that.
Yeah.
I believe Larry, Daryl, and Daryl were the folks who were hired to try and move the body.
Yeah.
And then they decided they should just leave it because they were too afraid that maybe, you know, something else could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's documented on the Hulu series Newhart, and it's episode number two.
Some, like, 19-year-old's gonna think we're for real on that and try and find that, like, a documentary. And I'm not making fun of 19-year-olds, just somebody that has no memory of ever watching that show as a child.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I mean, the episode that we're talking about actually came up before we were even born.
Yeah, but we watched Newhart as kids.
Sure.
So we're familiar with that show.
Exactly.
I bet you there's kids out there that don't even know what that is.
It's an amazing documentary series.
It's not.
About an inn called the Stratford Inn. And meow.
Quit.
Some of our audience got that. Some of our audience did.
Okay.
Like 2%. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller and see what we got here. Aaron in Hong Kong. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name's Erin. I'm from England. I've been here for about 2 years. I found it when I had really bad toothache with wisdom teeth, and I couldn't keep my eyes open. And I needed something to distract me because I couldn't sleep. And that was about 2 years ago, so thank you for getting me through that time. I've been meaning to send in some stories for a long time, but I honestly didn't know where to start. So I thought I would start with one of my more interesting stories from the location, not from actually what happened. But I went to Hong Kong for Christmas and New Year. This Christmas just gone, Christmas 2015. We stayed in a place on Hong Kong Island called Wan Chai. And I was doing a bit of research on what, you know, what to do around the area before I left. And I found out that the most haunted house on Hong Kong Island was about a 10-minute walk away from our hotel. So, of course, I wanted to go and see it. I knew that you wouldn't be able to get into it. But I just wanted to go and have a look at it because there are quite some quite famous stories regarding this house. It's called Nam Koo Terrace. So we had been out for dinner, me and my husband and our friend Hofton, who lives in Hong Kong. And we decided to just go for a walk up there. It's about 10 o'clock at night, but Hong Kong is very busy until very, very late. There's always people around, so it wasn't too scary. It's not exactly in a remote place. It's just up a hill from a very, very busy street. So we walk up this hill, but it's blocked off by construction work, road works. I don't know what it was. And we couldn't actually see the house because I think they were doing construction on the actual house. And there was really tall, like, I'd say it was like a fence, but like a board rather than, you couldn't see through the fence, if that makes any sense. So we couldn't see anything. I was a bit disappointed because I really wanted to just see this house as I'd read about it. And my friend Hofton, who is Chinese, And I think his parents are Buddhist, but he's not particularly religious. He had this weird feeling, and he just walked away down the hill. And I could see that he was making a gesture with his hands. So me and my husband sat down on the steps. I wanted to have a listen to see if I could hear anything, because I am quite sensitive. And I did hear something. It sounded really loud. Like somebody was saying it really loud, but it was very quiet. That's the only way I can explain it. And I heard the words, bang, whoa, bang, bang, whoa, over and over again. And I don't speak Chinese. And I asked Houghton a bit later. I said, this is what I heard. Does that mean anything to you? And he said no. So I don't know what that was, but I definitely had a weird feeling there. But unfortunately, we couldn't see the house. And he told us later, Houghton told us later, that he had a really strange feeling when he was there near the house. And he got on the MTR onto the subway home, and he prayed all the way home because he felt really like he needed to apologize to these spirits, like we'd disturbed something there. So that was sort of, it's interesting, but it's not exactly terrifying. But the other thing that happened to me when I was in Hong Kong, we went to Central Hong Kong Island, and they have there, it's the largest escalator system, and it goes all the way up this giant hill. It's like 20 or 22 different escalators, and you can basically just go all the way up the hill. So we decided, me and my husband, that we were going to walk, we were going to get the escalators all the way up the hill and then walk back down the hill to see the shops and, you know, things like that. And this is nighttime as well, because again, in Hong Kong, you know, everything is really lively. I mean, even the clothing shops are open until 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So, you know, it's still quite populated, so it's not terribly scary. But so we went up to the top of this escalator, had a look around, you know. It was nice, like, cityscape views and stuff like that. Took some photos. And we were walking down, you know, just chatting away, pointing, like, interesting shop windows out and things like that. And all of a sudden, I got this really weird, cold feeling. And there was a girl walking towards me, and she was about 6 or 10 feet away. And as she walks up to me, she walks past me. And then, I don't want to say it was a shadow person, but I couldn't make out any features. But something was walking behind her and clearly focused on her, following her about 4 or 6 feet behind her. And it was completely, like, black. And it looked like it had smoky edges. It was so creepy. And I instantly had a extreme physical reaction. I started, like, a cold sweat. My chest was clammy. I was breathing really heavily. I all of a sudden felt extremely sad and just like this hopeless feeling. And I started to cry. And my husband, he's so understanding. I mean, he's not sensitive, but he also, you know, 100% listens to whatever I've got to say when something like this happens to me. And it was just the most awful feeling. I can't even explain it properly, because it was so hopeless, and like this entity was just completely made of despair, and I've never experienced anything like that in my life. It was horrendous. But, you know, I got over it. We carried on with our night. That was fine. And a few days later, we went to Temple Street Market with another friend who lives in Hong Kong, Lammy. And she is quite a spiritual person, and we were, you know, girly chatting away, and I told her about this experience that I'd had a few days before, and she told me that that hill where the escalators are suffered a landslide maybe 40 or 60 years ago. I can't exactly remember. I can't seem to find a lot of information about it online anyway. I have tried to have a look, and she said there was a huge landslide there and a lot of people died. So there, you know, there has been reported to be activity there in the past as well. It was honestly not the worst experience I've had, but it was up there, possibly in the top five of, you know, unpleasant supernatural experiences. So They're the two things that happened to me while I was in Hong Kong. I hope to hear this on the show. Thank you for the show. I really do love it. And yeah, keep up the good work. Bye, Tony. Bye, Jenny. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us.
I guess if you're going to have an experience, it's kind of nice to know after the fact that it was, you know, that there was a reason for it.
I agree. I mean, especially if you're just suddenly experiencing this wave of emotion come over you and you don't have any explanation for it. You don't know why you're experiencing it.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's probably a ton of things that go through your mind, even just beyond paranormal.
Well, and you start to wonder about your mental outlook and things like that if you're starting to have an illness.
Sure. I mean, that would be in the picture. Mm-hmm. You know, is this something paranormal? Is there something coming over me? Is there something not right with me? You know, what, you know, do I need to seek help or, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then at least that kind of connects some of those dots. You sensitive people, I don't think I'd want to be that sensitive.
No.
Have you ever had that, anything to that level? Do you consider yourself as sensitive as that?
I don't know that I'm as sensitive as she is, but I also don't know that I've been in a situation that is that overwhelming either. You know, I mean, I've been to some very sad places, but never overwhelmed like that.
Sure. I mean, there's been some antique stores and some house showings that we've left because you've felt, but not probably to that level of.
Right.
Let me ask this. When we were at... in Kansas City at that hotel, that one that had the tragedy at it years ago with the balcony collapsing and killing all those people. Did you feel anything in there? I mean, granted, you already knew the history.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of a hard one to ask without saying, you know, I mean, you just know what happened there. So I think even the non-sensitive would feel kind of something heavy there, you know?
And I think, too, if you already know that something has happened there, you can kind of prepare yourself mentally to overcome whatever you're going to feel.
So you might also almost feel less than if you had not known.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it was more just weird knowing what had happened and how horrific it was versus just having gone in there not knowing and getting a weird feeling. That's never been the case because I've always known what's happened there.
Sure. Just like this wave wouldn't come over you and you're like, I wonder why you feel like this right next to the Coca-Cola machine.
Exactly.
You know.
So I don't know. I mean, you definitely feel some weirdness there, but it's hard to know what it's attributed to.
Sure. Sure. Thank you for that story and that account. We really appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to the caller. Hi. Let's hear your story.
Hi, guys. I'm a recent listener. I heard a story about ghosts that could protect people, and I thought I would share my story. My grandfather, who passed away before I even knew him, I mean, I was a baby when he passed away, is protecting us, I believe. However, my mother is a youth pastor at a Christian church and does not believe that her used-to-be abusive father is protecting his grandchildren. Until this one event. I was in my living room with the rest of my family. I'm in Georgia. We're in the South. You know, we're doing Southern cliche things. And, you know, watching TV and stuff. When suddenly someone walks past the window. And we just think, oh, it's a busy neighborhood. You know, whatever. Until someone knocks on the door. We don't answer it, obviously. Until the man starts banging harder on the door. And harder and harder and harder. Until eventually the lock on the door, the top lock and the doorknob, seemed to explode. The man busted in, and I figured out that he had shot the door. He was pointing a gun at all of us, telling us to give him all of our valuables, and I panicked, but I stopped panicking when I noticed that he turned pale to the bone. I had looked at my dad, and he was holding his Glock 45. He was pointing it directly at the man. He was yelling at him, put the gun down, leave, I'm calling the police. So the guy had left, and a few hours later, he was caught by the police. And the statement that he had given the statement that he had given was that it wasn't my dad that scared him. It was the old man. We didn't have an old man with us, and we asked him to describe him. He described someone that looked exactly like my grandfather, except he was almost not there. He was kind of transparent around the edges. When he held up his hand, looking like he was reaching up to grab him, the man ran off. I honestly believe that my grandfather is using his massive intimidation abilities to scare off the man. Thanks for listening.
You know, I wonder if you made some bad choices during life, meaning the grandfather, if he has to do a number of good things before he can get where he wants to go.
I was wondering about that. Is that something where you think it's like literally like, here's your punishment. Here's your, you know, someone up there says, or down there says, if you want to progress any further and pass go, here's what you need to do. It's like it's the verdict in the case of eternity. Or is it something where the person finally died and then they went, shit, I've been kind of a bad person most of my life, and I've hurt a lot of the people that I really do love, and I never really knew how to love them, but now I'm kind of enlightened because I'm dead. I'm going to try and do what I can and go back and help these people the best I can.
And I could see it being either case. I don't know which one it is. I kind of like to think that maybe they just came about that on their own, and it's not like just like, okay, I'm counting good deeds until I can move on.
Sure.
But it's nice that he's not still being an ass in death.
Yeah. And then you still have that too with some, where it's like, there's not much enlightening here. It's just continuing on of the bad, you know, bad choices and being a shitty person. So then you'd be a shitty ghost. You're an ass soul, as we say. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I've always kind of wondered, what's the point there when that happens?
Yeah.
From bad to good, and why? Oh, interesting thing. 855-853-4802 is our number. Holly, hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Holly, and I'm quote-unquote calling from Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. First of all, I wanted to talk about how great your podcast is, and I listen to it every day, and I've been EPP recently, so I'm glad to be a part of it. The second thing I wanted to mention is I was listening to your most recent episode, and it was funny because someone mentioned a story about the Queen Mary, which was even weirder because earlier I was listening to another podcast called Lore, and the whole episode was about the Queen Mary. So I thought that was a weird coincidence. So now my story. So when I was younger, I lived in a house with my parents, my mom and stepdad, and the house was at least 120 years old. It wasn't a nice 120-year-old house, though. It was a little bit more on the well-worn and a little bit not well-updated. But anyway, so I was in the basement with my stepbrother, and we had been playing or doing whatever, getting into trouble. And so just a quick story about what I experienced there. So in the basement, there was the main room, and the light switch for it was at the top of the stairs. And then off to one side was the laundry room. It didn't have a door on it. It was just like a doorway into a separate room. So there was a separate light for that. So we had been playing downstairs, and the lights were on in both areas. And then our parents called us for dinner, or we decided to go play somewhere else or whatever. So he was running up the stairs ahead of me, and I was still downstairs and realized, oh, we left the laundry room light on. I better go shut that off. So in the meantime, he turned off the light for the main room, and I walked into the laundry room and turned off the light. And when I walked out, I saw the outline of a person. So there were windows in our basement. So it looked almost like a person was standing there, and they were backlit. So it was just a dark, like, shadowy looking figure. I don't remember much in the way of detail about it, but at the time, I thought it was that my stepbrother had come back down. So I was like, I think I said something to him. I can't remember. I may have just said hello, or like, is that you, or something like that. And then it didn't move, and it didn't say anything. And I just felt this fear come over me. where my brain was kind of just like, oh, this isn't a person. This is either like a shadow or your mind playing trick on you or something. So I immediately ran back into the laundry room and turned on the light. And when I came back out, there was nothing there. So for the longest time, I assumed it was just my mind playing tricks on me. And that was kind of the last spot that I'd seen him standing. So my brain was just filling in the spot. Nothing more ever happened, and I didn't see anything, and it didn't communicate with me or move in any way. And how I handled it was I ran up the stairs to turn on the light to the main basement, and then ran back downstairs to turn off the laundry room light so that I wouldn't be in the dark again, and have to pass through where the shadow had been. So that's about it for my story, but I was curious to see if anyone thinks that it might have been something, or if it really was just my mind playing tricks on me and kind of putting filling in the blank where he had been standing before he ran upstairs and turned off the light on me. And, by the way, I don't think I ever forgave him for turning off the light on me because of that. But that's it. Thanks so much for the great podcast, and I'm so happy to be an EPP, and, you know, I know the story's not as scary as most people's, but it is something that has stuck with me for the last 20 or so years, so I thought I'd share it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That would stick with me.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think beyond, you know, what you see, I think she felt something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it scary, because your eyes can play tricks on you when somebody suddenly shuts the light off. Your eyes are still adjusting. You see a little faint outline of what was just there. Could be the person that turned the light off on you. And then your eyes adjust to the dark. But mm-hmm. she felt something, and that's what made it so terrifying.
Meaning, like, just the not physically touching, but just the emotionally feeling.
Yes, something. Yes. Like, there was something else there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just, you know, somebody turning the light off and you're in the basement. You
sure.
know, that's, I think she felt like something else was there, something scary.
Something beyond just being in the basement.
Yeah.
With the lights out. Yeah. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. Our number, 855-853-4802. You can write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like what you hear and you want to keep this thing on the air and be a part of the show, that's where we ask you to be an EPP. That's what you hear people keep talking about. That's an extra podcast person. They get, as it says, an extra podcast every single week exclusively for our EPPs. Some of the best stories we get, we put onto there. And they're only there. It's the only place you can hear those stories. Full episode, extra one every single week, and access to our whole back archive of EPP episodes. Nearly 100 of them now. Also exclusive video stuff like our video series that we put out every month, Seeing Ghosts, and so much more. You sign up to be an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. That's ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is, and you get all that extra stuff and the satisfaction of knowing that you're going to allow this thing to continue on. So check that out, and thank you if you already are one. All right, here's another caller. Hi.
Hi, Jenny and Tony. My name's DJ, and I wanted to start off by saying thanks for the podcast. I've been listening to several paranormal podcasts over the course of 3 or 4 years, and I'll say that yours is by far my favorite, so thanks so much for that. So I'll just jump right in with my story. So in 1995 or 96, I was either 16 or 17 at the time, I was sitting downstairs in our living room just watching television. It was well past midnight, maybe around 2 in the morning or so. And as I was sitting there, I was always very hypersensitive to my surroundings, especially when it came to our house, because we just grew up in a home that had a lot of paranormal activity. And even before moving there, our previous home before that, when I was just a little tiny child, had also some paranormal activity that my family had to deal with. So in a sense, we believe that we're just one of those families that attracts it. So being aware of that and being kind of used to it, it wasn't something that was too shocking. But in the living room was our entrance also into the basement. And off of the living room, there was another room that really has no function. It's just kind of this spare room that connects the front foyer with the kitchen and the living room. And at the time, the seasons were changing, so we had brought in a lot of our outdoor furniture and placed it in that room just to figure out where to put it next. One of those pieces of furniture was a swinging chair that we had out in the garden. It's one of those chairs that you place it in a fixed place, but as soon as you sit on the actual chair itself, it swings. And when we brought it in, my cat really loved it, and he would oftentimes just jump on the swing. And so you would see him jump, and you would see the chair swing for a couple seconds before it finally just slowed down into a resting place. So that night when I was watching television, the TV was situated in a place where you're basically looking into this spare room. And as I was watching the television, I see the chair just start moving. And so my thought was, okay, well, the cat jumped on it and is going to just chill out there for a bit. So I continued watching TV. And at the time, I was probably trying to call my best friend who lived a couple streets away, because that was what we did. And a few moments later, I saw the chair move again. So I just assumed that the cat had jumped off the chair and it would come to a resting stop on its own. So again, I'm zoning out on the television, and a few minutes had gone by before I realized that the chair was still swinging. Now, there was no light on in that room, so all I see is the gray chair moving in the darkness. So I'm trying to chop it up to, well, my cat must be hyper because he must be jumping up and down off of the chair. Although at that point I started to think, well, if that was the case, I would for sure have heard him, because he was a large cat. So at this point I can feel the hairs on my arm starting to stick up. And I was trying to debate whether or not I wanted to go investigate it myself or call my parents upstairs on the second line. We had a phone that had two phone lines, so sometimes if one of us were scared or just needed something, we would just call the first house line. So I was kind of just debating, what do I do? And I decided that I was going to be brave and go check it out myself. So I could see the chair still swinging, and it's not even losing any momentum. It's just continuing to swing. So I stand up and I'm slowly walking, because at this point I am concerned that my biggest fear is that I'm going to go in there and the cat's not going to be there. So as I start walking, I'm trying to develop a plan in my head of what I'm going to do. And when I get in there, instead of stepping foot into the room, I just put my hand around the corner where the light switch was, because I just wanted to flip on the light switch so that I could just see it full on. And when I did that, the chair immediately came to a dead stop, like an absolute dead stop, and the cat was not there at all. And before I could even react, right sharing that wall is the stairway to the basement. And as soon as the chair stopped, at that very moment, I heard running down the stairs in the basement. And that was enough for me to take off. I didn't even bother shutting the television off. I didn't bother shutting the lights off. I just headed upstairs and wanted to go tell my mom. And so I did that, and obviously not surprised at all. She told me, just basically, go to bed, leave your lights on if you want. Just get used to it. So fast forward maybe a few weeks, my best friend that I mentioned earlier, he many times would just stay at our place. And sometimes he would sleep in my room with me, or he would go in the basement and sleep. It was a finished basement. The portion of it was finished. There was another half of it that was unfinished, but that had a different door to access. So the finished part was kind of like a game room and a TV room. So a lot of times when my friends would come over, they would just stay down there and I would go upstairs to go to bed. So one night we parted ways. I went upstairs to my room and he remained downstairs in the basement. And again, around the same time, it had to have been probably maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. I can't be sure, but I hear him running as fast as he can up the basement stairs. I hear the door fly open, him slam the door, him run into the foyer, and then up the second set of stairs to come to the main upstairs area of the house. And he runs into my room, jumps in my bed, and I'm not even joking, he puts the covers over his head like a little child, and he says, "I'm never fucking going in your basement again." And it took me a while. My heart is pounding at this point because I knew it was going to be something paranormal, but I wanted to know what it was that freaked him out so bad. Because mind you, he has spent the night at my house. Basically, he kind of lived there off and on. So he was very familiar with the activity that we had, but he never reacted the way that he was acting that night. So after he had calmed down, I asked him, what happened? And he said that he was lying on the couch and he was watching television and he heard rustling in the unfinished portion of the basement, which he was not going to investigate, but he was just doing his best to ignore it. And as he continued to watch television, he said he felt as though there was a presence that came into the finished part of the basement where he was. And he said it was one of those feelings that you get when someone is standing behind you and your body just senses when a person's there. And he said he kept feeling that and he couldn't shake it. So he was planning to calmly come upstairs to come sleep in my room with me. But as he was getting, he was trying to get his bag with his clothes in it to bring upstairs. Before he could finish packing up his stuff, he heard it say his name. And he said the voice that he heard was a very deep, menacing voice. And it just said his name, Jeremy, as though it wanted him to know that it was fully aware of who he was and wanted their presence known. And so before even giving it a second thought, he just took off up the stairs. And he said the scariest part was not hearing it call his name, but the scariest part was that it was chasing him up the stairs. And he said they're wooden stairs with we placed a carpet over it, but it didn't have any cushion between the carpet and the wood. So it was a very creaky, hollow-sounding staircase. It still is to this day. It's very easy for people upstairs on the top floor of the house to hear people coming up and down the stairs in the basement. So it was at that moment that it started chasing him up the stairs that he just full-on panicked. And I've seen him scared in many situations. I've also seen him very brave in other situations, and I can say that in all the years I've known him, and I've known him over 25 years, I've never seen someone as terrified in my life as I did that night with him. To the point where I was joking that his hair was going to turn white the next day. So I just thought I would share that story about the ghost that apparently knows our names and likes to chase us every now and then and sit on a chair that swings. So thanks for listening. I hope to hear it on the podcast someday. And I wish you the best. And I look forward to many more stories. Thanks.
I think it's safe to say there's something there.
Yeah.
And all I could think of when she said, when she described how the ghost said Jeremy's name, mm-hmm. was that part on Ghostbusters 2 where the thing says Winston.
Yeah. Is that in the tunnel?
Yes.
Yeah, with the heads in the train. That's right. It's like the creepiest scene in that movie.
I think so. Yeah, that's terrifying.
I agree where he's, you know, he wasn't so as scared of his name being called, but the fact that it was chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like kind of a double whammy. At first, it's like, oh my God, this is something that's conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're thinking along those terms, it's like, oh, it's conscious, or it's conscious, it knows my name, or it's trying to get my attention, and then it's going after you. It just, you know, because I think a lot of times if you're, you know, familiar with anything ghostly, you're just kind of hoping, maybe it's just a residual thing. Maybe it's just kind of out there.
Right.
And then, oh, here's your confirmation that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, here's even more confirmation. It's like, which, you know, you don't even know how to react, probably.
Yeah.
It's just very much fight or flight. So very scary story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. If you want to share a story like that as well, where you notice it doesn't sound like a phone, because it's not technically. Our listeners are now recording. A lot of folks are recording on their smartphones with the whatever recording app you want to use. A lot of them built in there. And then just emailing Jenny that audio file. Great if you're overseas, if you're somewhere in Europe or anywhere else, really, outside of the U.S., and you want to share the story in your own voice, in your own words, record it on your smartphone and then email it over to Jenny as an MP3 or M4A, something of that nature. And email it to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. I got to say, my favorite story still, I think, of the day is the one I referenced of the Stratford Inn. That is one of the chillingest tales.
Okay.
Ever.
You're so funny.
This is where I want to show that little graphic right now of you with that look that someone drew. Very accurate.
It is. I love that. That's very right accurate. Now my profile picture. I love that.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please help us stay on the air. Sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is, and that's what keeps this thing on the air. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.